with a picture of a person. Hey, how many of you have enjoyed a good laugh because of this man's work and his comedy, right? Raise your hand if you know who this guy is and if he's made you laugh. Yeah. Bill Cosby, I have just enjoyed his comedy for decades. And how many of you loved him as Heathcliff Huxtable, right? That show, it's been a while, but I want to show just a clip from that show that is just classic Cosby. And in this clip, he is just returning from a trip with his daughter to check out a used car that they are potentially thinking about buying. And so go ahead and run that.
Yeah, sure.
A few minor adjustments.
That's the worst thing
ever. Hey, how'd it go?
How did it go? Well, it's a fine car if you don't want to stop.
Daddy.
Yeah, please get me something to drink because we're talking about a car now. I knew something was wrong when we went down there and the man saw that she brought her father. So the man said, well, I don't think I can find the keys for the car. So I said, well, I don't think I can find the money. So the man found the keys. So we get into the car. Now, first of all, to be honest, this is a beautiful, beautiful looking car. I mean, if Denise is sitting in this car, her friends are going to say, look out, Denise, or chilly down, or cool back, or whatever these people say when they say it. I put the key in the ignition, turned the thing, and it went. It's not running yet. It's just thinking about it. And the car, just the right side now. Just the right side said, hug, 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 hug. And she's sitting there like this, and, you know, like she's dancing. See? So the car, hug, 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 hug. But it has not started up yet. The car has not started up yet. So I pressed down on the gas, and you think I'm lying. The car said, what? So I put the thing in reverse. I let go of the emergency brake and pushed down on the gas, and the car said, oh, you want to go backwards? So now we back out, and the thing takes off, and now it's vibrating. I mean, this motor is in the rearview mirror, and whatever I'm gonna run over, there's 12 of them. And she's sitting there blaming me. Daddy!
Okay, so you get the idea. I just loved laughing at his stuff. But, you know, Cosby had at one point been called America's dad. Right? A lot of people called him that because the kind of dad that he portrayed in that show, it was the kind of dad that hey, who wouldn't want a dad like that? With a great sense of humor, a lot of fun, and all of that. But now, of course, many of you know that Bill Cosby is in a heap of legal trouble for some very serious allegations of just terrible behavior. And people are disillusioned, and they're in disbelief that this guy that they have grown to love over the years has let them down in such a huge way. The really sad part is, it's not a rare thing. It happens all the time, right? This disillusionment with a father figure. Those who are fathers or father figures, it's such a hugely important role in all of our lives. Sometimes it goes wrong. And people have what has been called a father wound, a deep inner wound that comes into our hearts because of a father figure who wasn't what we needed, wasn't what we thought, wasn't what we'd hoped. Or maybe sometimes it's just because they were taken from us too early. And that father wound can really leave a deep void. And it sends people down some very dark paths sometimes as they try to figure out how to do life with this wound and inflicted sometimes by the very one who's supposed to be a protector, a defender, an example. And it can just be messy as people try to sort through life with this father wound. But here's the thing. God, that we just sang about, is our good, good Father, has answers for us today, as always. This father wound doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to cripple our hearts, not at all. We have an outline this morning, but you know, I'm mostly going to give you my testimony of how I received a father wound and how God met me and brought me through it. But first, in your outline there in the bulletin, it's just what fatherhood was meant to be. You know, when we've gotten so far from something, what it should be, it can be hard to really know what it was supposed to be. I think that's the case with fatherhood. Sometimes people don't even know what it's supposed to look like. What is a healthy dad? But the text in Ephesians chapter 3 that was read for you, let me read again those first two verses. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, some of your Bibles will have a little footnote there where instead of from whom his whole family in verse 15, it could be translated whom all fatherhood, all right? From whom all fatherhood in heaven and earth derives its name. And really, that's a more literal translation, more word for word. So literally, what it's saying here is that all fatherhood derives its name from the Father, God the Father. And that's significant. He was the first father. He set the example. He set the tone for what fatherhood is supposed to be. Calling God Father isn't borrowing from some earthly reality to understand a heavenly reality, like the parables that Jesus told, right? He looked around to find earthly realities like seeds and soil and water, and he spoke of them to illustrate heavenly realities. Is this fatherhood thing like that, that the writers of Scripture wanted something that we see on earth to give a hint of what God is like? And so they see dads and say, okay, yeah, God is kind of like a father. No, it's not like that at all. It's the other way around, where God is the original father. And all fatherhood and what it means to be a father is derived from him. Do you see the difference there? Dads are supposed to be like the heavenly Father. And what we learn of God from Scripture shows his character. And that's why dads should be students of Scripture, because it gives us our job description, the character that dads are to have. And there's so much to say about that, but at least we can say this much, that God is holy, and so dads should strive to be holy. God has solid character of integrity, and so should we. And yes, God disciplines his children, and so should we. But God has grace, and he has sacrificial love for his children. And that's what earthly dads should have as well. So this is what fatherhood was meant to be. If you want to understand what it's supposed to be, look to the Father and what Scripture tells us about him. And that's what all of us needed in our dads growing up. But secondly, point number two is this: when dads fail, all right? When dads fail, father wound. I know there are many of you who won't know what this is about because you had great dads, and I am thankful for that. I rejoice with you. But I'm also quite sure that there are some here today with a degree of woundedness in your heart. Even if your dad was basically a good man, we're all broken. We're all fallen. And that includes our dads, and we all live with the results of that. Many of you may know some of my story in this regard, but let me share how this applies to me. I come from a broken home. My father left us when I was 16 years old. My dad was basically a good man. He was involved in the church. He was a farmer, and he worked hard and did some kind of cutting-edge things for the day in farming. And he, you know, set himself up to do well. But when I was just a kid, maybe 7 or 8 years old, Dad had purchased as a present for all of us kids a horse. That was our Christmas present. And They thought that would be fun to have a horse to ride around the country there in Nebraska. And the problem was that horse wasn't trained maybe the best. And one day when my dad was riding the horse, it got spooked and it threw him high off of the horse. And he landed on his ankle, broke his ankle in three places. And as in the process of the surgeries to with pins and screws and to put them back together, he got staph infection, and it was very serious, and he almost lost his foot. They almost had to amputate his foot because of that injury. Well, as you can imagine, that kind of makes being a farmer pretty difficult. And so my dad, in his early 40s, suddenly didn't know what he was going to do with the rest of his life, how he could make a living. All he'd known, I mean, for generations, our family had been farmers. And then add to that, he had this partnership in farming with his brother, and that was not going well at all. And so I think all of this kind of broke him in some ways. And so in trying to figure out what's he going to do with his life, he got involved in sales and different companies. And some of you might be familiar with what pyramid schemes are, and also Ponzi schemes. And there are things where promise people ways to make money, and let's just say they don't always work out so well. And so he got into these kinds of businesses, and he had late meetings throughout the week and worked with this one particular couple a lot. But after some time, the husband of this couple passed away. But he continued to do his work. And one day, in the spring of my sophomore year of high school, it was a Saturday morning. And during the week, I never saw my dad because of just of schedule, right? He had all these evening meetings, and so he would be gone by the time I get home from school, and then he wouldn't get home until late and after I was in bed and all of that. But this was a Saturday morning, and I went to the garage. I was trying to work on something, fix something, and I couldn't find a particular tool, and I looked at the time. I thought, oh, well, it's about time that, you know, Dad would get up. He got up a little later in the mornings because of his late nights. And so I went up to the bedroom, and Dad wasn't there. I thought, huh. So I came downstairs, and my mother was at the kitchen counter working on something. And I said, Mom, where's Dad? I didn't know he had a weekend, was going anywhere this weekend. And my mother, without turning around, she said, he's gone. He left. In fact, he left on Wednesday. He'd been gone for 3 days. She didn't have the heart to tell me. And suddenly, I mean, I just totally did not see this coming. And suddenly my world was upside down. And I'll never forget just the turmoil. The foundations of my security were just pulled apart. I mean, a lot of people come from broken homes now, but in that day, I didn't have friends that this had happened to. I didn't know how to process this. And with, you know, word getting out, I mean, the phone calls that came in, and I had to tell people, no, he doesn't live here anymore. And those feelings of embarrassment. And Dad wasn't there for my high school graduation. He wasn't there for my college graduation. He wasn't there for my wedding. None of it. My siblings, they were all older, the youngest of five, they were all just furious with him, just wrote him off, didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he had run off with this lady the widow that he had been working with. And to make it even more interesting, she was part of a cult that many of you have had them knocking at your door probably at one point or another. And so my father joined that cult. And so I went through a time in my life, I mean, I was 16 years old, went through that time in my life when it's really important to have a dad around, to figure out what it means to be a man as I was becoming one, but he was absent almost completely. What little contact I did have with him, he was just completely preoccupied with his business hopes that weren't going so well. And so, yeah, I guess I developed a pretty significant father wound. It's also been called an orphan spirit. You know, this hole that because of something that should have been there secure in your life that wasn't. And it's deep stuff in feelings of abandonment and you know, security issues, wondering if it's about you and what you could have done differently that might have changed the picture, and identity issues of who am I and where do I go from here? I'll never forget a few years later working with a guy who was a Christian, and he meant well. And he said to me, you know, never get involved with someone who comes from a broken home. They're doomed to repeat the cycle. You know, he had no idea that I was one of those doomed people. And I said, you know what? I said, that may be true at an earthly level, but God is able to break the chain. God is able to break that cycle. And so I have good news for all of us here today that God is able to heal the father wound. To whatever degree you may have one, God is able to restore and redeem. Number three in the outline is how the healing takes place. How the healing takes place. Somehow early on in this whole thing, in my broken family, the message, the truth came to me that, hey, you know what? If my earthly father has failed me, my heavenly father would not. And whatever's lacking from my earthly father's involvement in my life, well, you know what? God is there to be even more involved and to fill in those gaps. And so I leaned into that relationship. You know, prior to this, I had been an every Sunday church goer at a mainline kind of lukewarm church, but a kid from high school had invited me to a home Bible study. And in many ways, I say, wow, that's where I saw real Christianity lived out for the first time. And that's why I really believe in small groups and Bible studies. And I loved it. But that was just a part of my life. Because, hey, when you're 16 years old, there's so much else to focus on. But when this hit my world, that Bible study became oxygen for me. And I got serious about my relationship with God. And later on that summer, I really nailed down this thing with the Lord, that I am His. I'm not just a Christian in name. I am not just going to do the religious thing. I am going to be a follower of Jesus. I am His. And you know, it's not going to be lukewarm, a lukewarm believer that Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, Scripture says, but this is going to be real. And it just so happened that summer, our church was having a youth service that June. The youth did the whole service, and most people at church were still not aware of the situation that my father had left. And so this youth service just happened to be on Father's Day. And so that first Father's Day after my earthly father left, I gave my very first sermon. And the title of that sermon was The Perfect Father. And I spoke from Psalm 27. Again, no one knew that mine had just left. How ironic, really, in a way. But also, in a way, how powerful that God was at work. And I knew right away that I was called to serve this father. I went to Bible college, and while I was there, one of the things they would have students sometimes go to the airport to go pick up people that would fly into the area for whatever meeting. And I believe it was the college board of trustees, and there was somebody flying in from somewhere. So I went to the airport and picked up this guy. And in the course of conversation, I realized he'd come from a broken home too. And he shared with me two verses from Scripture that meant a whole lot to him that have since meant so much to me, and I've shared them with countless people. Psalm 68:5, that says, God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. And I include single moms in that too. So that tells me that yes, God is a father to the fatherless. Whatever is missing from your earthly father, God is there to fill that in, to more than make up for it. And Psalm 27:10 says, even if my father and mother forsake me, my father, God will receive me. All right? Even if both parents walked away from you, God is always there with arms wide open to receive you. And you know, through the years, God has proven those two scriptures to be very true in my life. I remember a time not long after, a few years after Nancy and I had gotten married, again, my dad wasn't much of a part of my life. Her father had passed away at that point. And we were looking at a vehicle, that thinking about purchasing one. It ran a little better than the one Cosby was talking about. But it was a lot of money, and I wasn't sure, did we want to spend that much money? And we were debating, and as we're talking, we're like, man, I wish we could talk to our dads about this, but we can't. And in grieving that all over again, that scripture came to mind. God's a father to the fatherless. And in moments, the telephone rang, and it was the owner of the vehicle that we were looking at. And he called up to say, you know what? I'm going to knock off another $1,000 off of that vehicle. So if you still want it for whatever that's worth, I'm going to knock $1,000 off. And I looked up to heaven and said, thanks, Dad. He's a father to the fatherless. Again, my siblings were angry. They wanted nothing to do with him. I was hurt, but I try to keep that door open to relationship with him, which opened me up to more hurt. But God helped me realize that God's grace to me means that we've got to come to the place where we realize our parents are human. They're sinful. They're fallen. And they need to be forgiven just like anyone else, right? And every kid's got to forgive their parents for something. And when God as Father is big in your life, when you find him to be faithful and you grow in that relationship and you receive the security that comes from him, then a broken relationship with an earthly father, though disappointing, does not have to be devastating. For 20 years, there would be the very rare phone call from him, the once-a-year trip to Nebraska to see the whole family, and then one of the mornings of that week, I'd have breakfast with my dad, or sometimes it would be a lunch, and I'd bring Nancy and the kids, and Dad was always glad to see me, and we'd have a pleasant time, but it was just so far from what it should have been. And I don't even think he knew the names of his grandkids, if you quizzed him on it. Then at one point, I started noticing that the phone calls were just a little more frequent. He talked less about his business stuff and showed more personal interest in me and my family. And I'll never forget the first time that he ended the phone call with, I love you, son. And I looked in the phone and said, who are you and what'd you do with my dad? Because that just wasn't what I was used to from him. Found out later that his health was failing. He got pulmonary fibrosis, commonly called farmer's lung, from years of breathing in grain dust and all the farm work without having a dust mask like everybody wears today. And it's a pretty serious thing. And suddenly he's in the hospital. I didn't know how serious it was. I talked to my sister Pam, and she was like, I don't know. And then got word that it was very serious. And at one point it was like, will he live through the night serious? And I always remember what was happening at that time here from our church here. Roy Henney had just passed away. That's Mike Henney's dad and Linda Cousins' dad. I don't know if you admit that you're related to Mike in public, but anyway, I guess that's out. Sorry, Linda. I couldn't just hop on a plane. I didn't know if it was time to yet, and so I said, listen, Pam, I'm gonna send you an email. And I want you to take this email to Dad, and would you read it to him as soon as possible? So she said she would. And so here's what I wrote. I said, Dear Dad, I've gotten updates about your condition, I've thought more of our discussion through the years about faith in the Lord and your eternal destiny. I guess considering your fragile health, it put my heart at ease to have some assurances. I said, you know, the leader of your religious organization didn't die for you, and Martin Luther didn't die for me, and all of the other particulars of religion aside, Dad, when you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you in? Are you able to say, along with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I said, I know, Dad, that sooner or later we will all go to our graves with regrets and unfulfilled hopes, but I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient for you. And I'd like the assurance that you know you have the sure hope of heaven because of what Christ did for you and nothing else. Can you let me know that somehow? Thanks, Dad. We're praying for you. Love, James. So my sister Pam took that to the hospital, and she read it to him. And his response was, yeah, that's what I believe. I'm trusting in Christ. And that very night, he died. And so within a couple of days, I got home, and actually his funeral was in a place of worship of this church that really doesn't understand the gospel, that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I got to share at his funeral the good news of the gospel. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for the hope of seeing him again, that he will be a new person, the person that he was meant to be, as I will be. No more disappointments or hurt between us. No wounds, healed perfectly. The story ended well, and I have peace. People, we need to believe in the power of redemption. We need to believe in the hope of the resurrection and how it will change everything. So listen, whatever pain, whatever heartache, whatever disappointment in your life related to your father or for any reason, here's what we have to believe, and that we will be so transformed in heaven, that we will be so amazed at God's forgiveness and how he heals our hearts so completely, that one day you and your dad will not have a wall of pain between you, but instead you'll both be able to bow side by side at the feet of Jesus in joyful awe that he has made all things new. All will be as it should be, restored, new, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. If we really believe that this is coming, then even now we can find peace, and our hearts can be healed by hope. So, whatever your situation is, again, if this is foreign to you because your dad was great and was there for you, then I rejoice with you, and I praise God for that. But if you would say, yeah, to some extent, I have a father wound, an orphan spirit. I haven't been at peace with that relationship. If your dad was absent or failed you or wounded you in some way, to admit that is not to dishonor your father, especially if you offer God's grace to him. But today is a good day to be healed of that wound. I won't make you stand or raise your hand if this applies to you, but if it does apply to you, just please receive this scripture, Romans chapter 8. God says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, or another way to translate that word is a spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is that way they said daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So if you've put your faith in Jesus, then God, the Heavenly Father, chose you to be his. He adopted you to be his child forever. The spirit of adoption is greater than the orphan spirit or the father wound. And so again, whatever is lacking from your earthly father, the heavenly father more than makes up for. And your daddy loves you. He loves you with a perfect, everlasting love. So please find your security and your rest in that love. Would you bow your heads with me? And let's pray. Father, Daddy, thank you that you're a good, good Father. That Lord, all of our understanding of what a father should be, you are that and more. And God, I just pray especially for any that this applies to today that have a father wound, that grieve something that wasn't as it should have been. God, I pray that just by your Holy Spirit in our hearts that you would heal that wound, that you would fill that gap, that you would mend what has been broken or torn and make it whole. Lord, I thank you that in some ways the scars might remain just to remind us of what you've healed us from, what you've helped us to overcome. But God, make it real. And God, for the dads here today, Lord, just infuse them with your spirit and your character and your love. And Lord, thank you for the hope that is ours because of your promises of the day that every tear will be wiped away and everything wrong will be made right. Thank you that hope is sure. In Jesus' name, amen.